I should have been. I know the song. Should have been ready to go. All right. Jeremiah in your Bibles, the Old Testament. If you go to the middle and find Psalms and Proverbs and just go a couple more books over, when you find Isaiah, go to the next one, Jeremiah. We're in Jeremiah chapter 2. God called the prophet Jeremiah. So we've looked at the last couple of weeks, and we see the message that God is giving to Jeremiah. In chapter 1, we see the dreams and desires that God showed Jeremiah. You're getting ready to wake up Israel, wake up Judah, in getting them to see the coming judgment that God has prepared. And so before God could send His message, He had to prepare His man. And that's no different in today's time as well. Whenever God has a message, man has to be prepared to give that message. And we must be prepared to give the message that God gives to us as we seek His face in this. In chapter 2, we jump right into this message. Now, as I told you before, Jeremiah has several different messages that God is going to give him. This is the first one, and it is it's pretty pointed when you consider the coming judgment of God. But we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read several verses down, and we won't read all 37 at this juncture, but we'll make reference to each of them as we highlight through this chapter here tonight. But let's begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone afar from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof, but when ye entered, ye defiled my land, and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, Where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." I'm going to preach a message tonight entitled The Indictment of Israel. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I come to you and God, we need you desperately. Father, as we read through this book of Jeremiah, it makes me think of what our nation, our country, our people, our churches are doing today. God, some of the same things that we read from these pages, we have somewhat of a, seems to be a mirror image of what is taking place today. And Father, I know that I am no Jeremiah. I know that our church is no Israel. But Father, I do ask that you would revive us. God, that you would stir our hearts to do something for you. God, that we might see our church revived, that we might see our neighborhoods and our families revived, and that we might see our city revived and our state, that our region in the South would be revived once again, and throughout our land, this great country that you have allowed us to be a part of. Father, may your people come back to you. May they come back to this book that we read tonight. May we fall on our faces. May we recognize who we are. And may it disturb us. May we blush at our sin. May we be astonished at what is to come. But God, may we know that while things may seem to be very bleak and very dark, God, we know that you're pleading. We know that your message is still ringing out. Father, may it start here. May it start with me. May it start with these hearers. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. The indictment against Israel. God said in verse number 13, he said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water." What a substitute. You ever had to substitute something before? When you had to settle maybe for something that you thought you needed, or something something that you knew wasn't necessarily the original, but you had to substitute it out for something else. Sometimes we substitute something out because we think it's better, right? Have you ever gotten rid of sometimes we do this, if you don't necessarily buy a brand new car, but you get a new car to you, a used car. How many of you ever bought a car thinking it was better than the one you were getting rid of, only to find out it was worse? Anybody ever done that before? Bob, you ever do that? Never? You check yours out. I don't know how to check them out. I just, you know, it looks cool, so therefore, there you go. I've done that before. You buy a car and you're like, oh man, this is going to be way better than the one I'm getting rid of, and, you know, better gas mileage and all these things, and then come to find out, while it's that substitute, you think, in the end, it wasn't a really good deal. And you probably paid a whole lot more than you had to, and all of those things. I've done that. Some of you others, raise your hand and said, I've done that. Israel had done that. It's exactly what they had done here, except it wasn't trading a car. It wasn't trading, of course, they didn't have cars back then. It wasn't trading a donkey. It wasn't trading land. It wasn't trading children, trading spouses. It wasn't trading any of that. It was trading God Almighty for another God. And the Bible says here that in this illustration, he says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." God is saying here, and of course he tells us in John chapter 4 that Jesus said, "Hey, I am that water, I am that living water." And here is God in the book of Jeremiah saying, "I am the fountain of living water, and they have forsaken me." He said, Israel has walked away from and turned away from the fountain of living waters, and they hewned them out cisterns. Cistern is very simply a water tank that was holding water. It would keep it a little cool. And what they were trying to do, and you got to picture this, if you will, they had a fountain that was perpetually giving water. And they thought it was better to dig a cistern and build a cistern and pour water into it to hold it. The only problem was the cisterns that they had hewn out and that they had built had holes in it. And so every time they poured water into it, it just funneled out. It funneled out. And they had a fountain of living water that was always there, that always supplied, that always met their need. And they said, this is better. What a substitute, right? And they poured water into it, and they're always wondering, why is it empty? Who's taking our water? Who was taking this water? And they poured it in, and only for it to go right back out. When we go back a few verses here, the Bible says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem. I want you to notice the instructions given to Jeremiah. Again, as God is placing and getting this indictment together against Israel, he begins by saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I've called you, and I want you to go, and I want you to cry to the children of Israel. He said, I want you to start by telling them, I remember thee and the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. He said in verse number 3, Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase, all that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. God tells Jeremiah, he says, I want you to tell Israel, he said, I want you to tell them that I remember when we were close. I remember that. You know, from over time, and we've gotten a whole lot better with technology and things where we're able to keep up with communication and communicating with people are so much easier. I am old enough to remember long distance. Why are you laughing? You don't know what long distance is? They have no idea what long distance is. No, they don't. Alex, I'm telling you, these young kids today have no idea what a long distance phone call is. You know what a long distance phone call is, Bryceland? You have no idea. Well, sort of like international. That's how international is now. BJ, do you know what a long-distance telephone call is? I didn't hear what he said. Jason? Well, that's actually a party line, and they used to have those too. I don't remember those, though. Amen. I'm not that old enough, but if you want to know more about them, my mother knows. She told me, she said, I'm so glad this morning I couldn't remember the date that I got saved because I would have had to say all the way back to 1963, was it? 65. And she was embarrassed by that, Randall. I know. But I'm not supposed to use my family as illustrations. I know, but she's sitting all the way in the back. Nobody can see her. So don't turn around. Relationships, though, fade over time when you don't communicate. Back when Rachel and I first got married, we used to, her grandmother used to send us calling cards. You remember those, Matt? Yeah, it had a calling card, and it'd have 500 minutes on it, and she'd send us one every few months so we could call home and communicate, and they wanted to know what was going on, and we would use it to call my mother and to call each other. When I traveled one summer, I would use my calling card to call Rachel, and she would call me, and they of course would go through that because we wanted to keep in touch. We wanted to continue to be able to talk, Shane, and so we would do that, and that's how we did that. Well, now of course we have it's unlimited long distance. They don't charge for many cell phone calls wherever. You don't pay the per minute charge like you used to. I remember when Rachel had a cell phone, and one particular summer, she had, I think, a $1,000 phone bill, and her folks were not happy and that may have been what brought on the calling cards. probably so, but I remember her telling me, I called her and she said, I can't talk very long, my mom's not happy, my phone bill was $1,000 last month, and I was talking to you, and so here I am, I'm wanting to marry her, and I'm running up $1,000 phone bills. That's not looking too good for the future son-in-law on those things. And but we were able to keep in contact. And what God is talking about here is, I remember, I want you to tell Israel, I remember when we were together. I remember when, and you notice the language here. He says, I remember the kindness of thy youth and the love of thine espousals when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not so. He says, I remember when you would follow me around. I remember when you would be a part of what I wanted you to do and you would go where I wanted you to go. Again, in a land that was not sown. And this is a reminder to them that in a land that wasn't sown, and guess what? They never went hungry. God always supplied their meal. They didn't always like it, but God always supplied it. Then he says in verse number 4, he says, give the instruction, tell them this. And then he says, hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord. He's going to ask a question here, and pay attention to this question. He says, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? Now stop right there just for a moment before we finish this question. What is iniquity? Somebody answer. What is iniquity? Sin. Okay. So what iniquity have your fathers found in me? Who's speaking here? Who is the me in this verse? God. So God's asking a question here. He says, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? Now we know that God has no sin. But yet God is asking the question, what is wrong with me that your fathers have found in me? What's wrong with me? What iniquity have your fathers found in me? Listen, that they have gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain. What he's saying here, there must be something wrong with me for your fathers to have just walked away from. Now we know there hasn't been, and God knows there hasn't been, and Israel knows there hasn't been. But God is still asking this question. He says, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? Do you realize that they had gotten so far away from God that they hadn't even given God a second thought? He said that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts, of pits, through a land of drought and shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. Where is that God? How did we get here in this land of plenty? How did we get here in this land of beautifulness? How did we get here? No man asked, where is God? They had forsaken him. We see this ignoring of Israel to God. He said, I brought you into a land of a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof, the goodness thereof. But ye entered in and ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not, and the pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after those things that do not profit. Now hold on just a second. Anybody heard news lately of maybe a pastor that's transgressed? I am the first one to admit when we start talking about sin, I'm a sinner, okay? And I'm not trying to compare or anything like that, but I don't want you to think that this is just talking about just your normal, if we can call it this, and I don't want to downplay sin by any means, but your normal everyday sin, okay? This is not what we're talking about. The pastors also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked not after the things which do profit, or do not profit. They walked after those things that do not profit. I mean, have you heard any of these stories? I mean, again, I'm not trying to run any man down or any ministry down or anything like that, but we've got some messed up churches today. We've got some messed up, like really, really messed up men in pulpits today. I'm still trying to figure out how so many of them get on TV, Matt. Can you help me with that? Is that what it is? I mean, it's just, it baffles me because they're not preaching the Word of God. And they're spewing all of this nonsense out. And people are just soaking it in. And nobody's asking, where's God? But I think you're right. They like what they hear. And the Bible says in the last days, men shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears that need to be scratched. I'm not here to scratch your ears tonight. I'm here to tell you what thus saith the Lord. Amen. And I'm telling you, not everyone that calls themselves a Christian, not everyone that calls themselves a church, not everything that is big and that is magnificent has the blessings of God on it. And not everything that's small and what we might consider to be insignificant doesn't mean that God is ignoring. Amen. Come on now, God doesn't work in those things. But notice what he says there is, in all of these things, he says, Jeremiah, he says, go and cry. He said, Jeremiah, tell them, hear ye. And they've ignored the God of Israel. As if he doesn't exist, they've ignored him. In verse number 9, the Bible still says, wherefore, this is God still speaking, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord. And with your children's children will I plead. Oh, the long-suffering of God, the patience of God. Aren't you glad for it? I'm talking the long-suffering and the patience of God. It's only by His mercy that you and I are not consumed. He says, I will plead with you. I'll plead with your children and your children's children. I'll plead with you. Oh, is God pleading with you tonight? He says in verse 10, For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. He says, be astonished. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this. And be horribly afraid. And be very desolate. And again, the indictment that God gives. He says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of the living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. It's interesting that in this indictment that God gives, due to the fact that Israel was ignoring God, in this, one would have been enough, don't you think? I mean, in my mind, just forsaking God would have been enough of an indictment. He says, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. But they went a step beyond that. Not only did they forsake the fountain of the living waters, but they tried to substitute God with something else. With something so far inferior that it didn't even work. And let me just fill you in on something. Nothing outside of God Almighty will work in your life. You can forsake Him and you can try to do your own thing, but I'm telling you, each and every time when you get outside of God's plan, when you get outside of God's Word, it won't work. It won't work in your life. You are no exception to the rule. Oh no. He continues throughout the rest of this chapter, and we begin to see as he continues here, he says, is Israel a servant? Is he a home-born slave? Why, hold on a second, why is he spoiled? Oh, we talk about the spoiled children today, don't we? Oh. Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste and his cities burned without inhabitant. The children of Noph and Tahpenes have broken the crown of thy head. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? And now, what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Hold on, did you check this? Did you see the infection that's going on in Israel here? Verse number 19, he says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee. You know what? You know what Jeremiah, God is giving to Jeremiah here? If I could sum it up in a New Testament type of a way, you will reap what you sow. It's going to come. If you reap to the Spirit, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap from the Spirit. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap from the flesh. Israel, what's getting ready to happen to you, you've brought on yourself. Oh, yeah. He said, hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God? He says, the reason all of these things are happening to you, the reason that you have people being carried out into captivity, is because you've brought it onto yourselves, because you've forsaken God. Forgot all about him. And thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Thine own backsliding shall reprove thee. Therefore see that it's an evil thing and bitter. He says in verse 20, for the old time I have broken thy yoke, and burst thy bands, and said, I will not transgress, when upon every hill high hill and every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. Yet I planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed, when thou art turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me. For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee with much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley, know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways, a wild ass into the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure in her occasion. Who can turn her away? All that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. He says, hold on a second. He says, how dare you? He says, how can you say that I am not polluted? You know the day and age in which we live in? I mean, if you pay attention, just read a few articles. Just read a few articles that talk about, that call good evil and evil good. Oh, it's out there. Amen. It's out there. I mean, you mention and you just mention the Bible. Oh, no, we can't do that. We can't have any of that. We must have separation of church and state. Let's not get political and church all together here. Oh, no, we can't have any of that. Why? Because the Bible's bad in our culture. Now, you and I know the Bible is good. The Bible is wonderful. The Bible is changing lives. But our culture will tell us, oh, no, we can't have any of that. Oh, no, we can't. We can't look. We can't. We just can't have anybody offended. We just can't have any of that. Well, I take that back. We can have it if you're Christians, because Christians aren't supposed to be offended. And since Christians aren't supposed to be offended, they can't be offended. They that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. You know, it does say that in here. They that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. They're calling good evil and evil good. And so therefore, we can say, oh, I haven't done anything wrong. They're the ones that have done everything wrong. He says, how can you say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley. He says, stop and look. He says, check these things out. And this infection that is caused by Israel's sin here. All of this coming into this. In verse 26, he says, as a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They and their kings and their princes and their priests and their prophets, saying to a stock, thou art my father, to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. Oh, here we are. The fountain of living water? No, we don't need you. We've got our own cisterns over here. We're good. We've got water enough to last. And what they don't even realize is the cisterns that they've built and that they've hewed out have holes in it. It's losing the water. It's not doing what they want it to do. And now that they're in a time of trouble, they're saying, oh God, save us! Save us! The infection has set in, and now they want saved. God says, Jeremiah, you tell them, I remember in their youth when they used to follow me wherever I would tell them to go. Now, I love verses like this because it Brother Greg, it tends to my sarcastic nature. Verse 28. As they said, as he said, but in trouble, in verse 27, of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. And here's what God says, Jeremiah, you tell him. He says, but where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble, for according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. I love it, Randall. He says, you've forsaken me. I didn't forsake you. You got away from me. You hewed out cisterns. You did this stuff. If you have other gods, let them save you. Let them help you. If they be gods, if they be strong enough, let them help you. Oh my. He said in verse 29, wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye have all transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They received no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. Verse 31, O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Notice in verse number 4, he said, hear ye the word of the Lord. But in verse 31, he says, see ye. He said, have I been a wilderness unto Israel? A land of darkness? Wherefore, say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee. God asks a lot of questions in Jeremiah chapter 2, doesn't he? He says, have I been a wilderness unto Israel? Have I been a land of darkness? I don't think so. In verse number 32, he says, ask some more questions. He says, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why trimmest thou the way to seek love? Therefore, thou hast taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these. Yet thou sayest, get this, yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Because I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Why gatest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. I want you to see in this last verse here the intentions that the Lord makes known. He says, you've forsaken me. Let me sum this up before I read this last verse. He says, you have forsaken me. He says, I remember when you were young, you followed me around. He said, but now you've followed after other gods. He said, you've forsaken me. You've become infected. You want my help because of what you have done. He gives his intentions in verse 37. He says, yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thine head. For the Lord hath rejected thy confidences. Thou shalt not prosper in them. I want to remind you, as we're just in the very beginning of Jeremiah, Israel is coming to a day that they find themselves in great bondage. Why? Well, he told us, thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Because God says, I've rejected your confidences. You're confident in the things that you have done, in your own abilities, in your own ways. He said, I've rejected all of that. That's God's intention. His intention is to reject. Let's do a New Testament application here. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You know what the problem in Israel was in this particular time in Jeremiah chapter 2? It was their own pride. We can do it our way. We'll just do things our way. And God says, nope, I reject that. I resist that. And he puts that arm up and resists. He says, Jeremiah, you tell him. Oh, I remember. I remember when they would follow me around. I remember when all of this would take place. But Jeremiah, you tell him, I reject it. What's the application today? Well, we have a fountain of living waters, just like Israel had. Jesus said the same thing. Come unto me. So, you want living water? You found it here. Are you rejecting it? Now, I know this is a Sunday night crowd. You hopefully you're not rejecting the waters that God is giving, but are you doing things your own way? Have you said, I'll just do it my way and we'll see what happens? Don't let yourself be resisted. You can find grace. You can find grace. It had been so many days and so many, the Bible says, without number. That's how long it had been. And at their weakest time, they came to God. And when they came to God, I want you to notice something. They did not come to God recognizing necessarily who He was and what they had done. They just came to God for help. God, you got to help us here. We're in a pickle. We're in just a little bit of trouble. God, you got to help us. They didn't acknowledge their own sin. They said they were innocent. They said, well, we haven't done anything wrong. That's why God is now sending Jeremiah to say, oh, yes, you have. Oh, yes, you have. My friend, if we're going to have revival, if we're going to experience revival, I want to remind you very quickly, we must recognize who we are and recognize who He is and deal with things according to the Bible, the Word of God. So the Lord hath rejected thy confidence. Thou shalt not prosper in them. Proverbs tells us, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You want to be prosperous? Own your sin. Bring it before God. Let him have his way in thee. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Two evils. One would be bad enough. Either one of them. Let's do things God's way, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, have your way during this time. Speak to our hearts that we might respond to you. That we might respond to you the way the Bible deals with us. May we acknowledge it. May we humble ourselves before you. That you might meet us with grace. Have mercy on us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.